And we're live. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the true episode one of Book of Summer, a Ryutama actual play campaign under Shapeshift streamed on the Geekspectives Twitch. Actually, we were talking a little bit during the pre-show about streaming and the stress of streaming and trying to figure out if it's something that is good for, well, me producing a show, and then just good in general for the general, like, health of us. Like, I really want this to be fun, and if it's stressful and anxiety inducing, then for me too, like, I think we might not stream in the future, but today we're just gonna see how it goes. So last episode, last stream attempt, we basically did a session zero part two where we just like solidified and confirmed characters, talked about you guys' skills and classes, and we also talked a little bit about the world and like our safety stuff. So I think we're just ready to get right into it. Well, first off, I'm going to bring up the map. We are in Timbercliff. Is a place that you guys, we created in our true session zero way back in like, what, October, September, November of last year. And so during one of my GM prep streams, I actually put together a map for you. I sent the map out to you guys. And we had established that your guys' characters are all in currently Timbercliff for various reasons and for various amounts of times. Okay. And so what I had said last time was I was going to basically kind of like, you guys aren't all together yet, but I'm going to like scene travel you guys all together. So Timbercliff is a pretty large city, has a population of, I think I put 5217. Don't ask me how I got that number. I just based it off of the Ryutama book of like scales of towns and stuff.
So
yes.
5,000 is quite a bit.
It's pretty big. It's a large city that is northwest near like west oh no excuse me northeast east of the deep woods where you guys were at last season, and it is a logging town. It is has this big river that runs through it. It's a timber, like their specialty is this thing called lithwood, that is wood that is as strong as basically steel. That's their main export and they're especially good here. But anyway, let's go ahead and just like set the scene. So it's dusk and fairly cloudy. There's a decent amount of people on the streets. It's pretty bustling. And the air carries the smell of pine and damp because it's close to this large body of water. There are humans, but the majority of the people you see are beaver folk. And as you're like imagine like the camera is going through like a city streets. And it's following this one feminine beaver folk. She's wearing something like ridiculous and expensive, maybe like a giant like brimmed hat that's completely adorned with ridiculous amounts of feathers and flowers and everything. And she's like shopping. She's like going from store window shopping and looking. And then she comes to like a little market and she's looking at like the, I don't know, whatever food these people eat, not wood, like grubs and like vegetables and stuff in like a cart area, or like, you know, like a market that has like the stands outside and there's stuff bundled up. And she's like bending down and she's like kind of like looking through things and picking things. And right off camera, we can see, Brandon, can you describe what Pico is doing right now?
He's kind of creeping around under people's, wait, these are beavers, so they're not very tall.
Yeah, how big are they?
I would say like 4.5 feet tall.
Okay, so he's not underfoot.
Yeah,
he's hiding. You know how stalls have a little curtain, or not curtain, little tablecloths hanging over?
Yeah.
He's kind of like behind that, right, hopping from stall to stall, just kind of stalking around.
And we can kind of see you know, this little cat creature, you know, Pico, darting in and out. And Pico, you notice as this one beaver folk woman is like looking at stuff, she like hand goes to grab a cabbage. And on her wrist is this charm bracelet, and dangling from this charm bracelet is a locket, and it catches your eye.
Yeah, it catches my eye because it's my locket. I'm going to get it. You see a little paw creep out from under a little tablecloth.
Trying little to snatch paw. It?
Yeah, I'm going to take back what's mine.
Okay. How are you? Are you just like outright grabbing, or are you trying to be stealthy about it?
I'm trying to be stealthy. I got my claws out, being very delicate with it.
Okay. Do you have a skill for your thieving?
Yeah, it's pilfer, and it was the hardest skill that I designed for myself. So, okay. Whoops.
What's the stat? What are the two die rolls that you have to do?
I have dex and spirit plus one.
Okay. Please give me a pilfer roll. Well, I'm going to say this is very difficult for you.
Okay.
Because one, it's in a crowded area, and also you're just trying to grab it right off her wrist. Like just...
You know, it's kind of loose. The chains are kind of loose. Okay. So I'm kind of trying to unhook one of the chains just to kind of slide it right off.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. It's a 12 check.
Okay. So I'm going to concentrate on that. I unfortunately do not have any fumble points yet. This is the first roll of the game.
That'd so it would be 10 seconds.
D10 and D4 plus 2.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. That's a 15.
Jesus oh, my Christ. God.
Okay,
all
that's right. Funny.
So, yeah.
He does the thing.
Yeah.
So I just unhook. There is, you know how like in jewelry, there's a little hook. So my claw is just pulling that spring, and I'm just latching it, just
sure.
unhooked and clean off.
Okay. Oh, man. So yeah, you do it. You take it. I think because like she's like holding a cabbage and she's like looking through other things, she doesn't really notice you right away. So you have this locket. What do you do now?
I stash the locket in my little belt pouch. Mm-hmm. And I'm still under the table. So
right.
I'm going to go to the next table to kind of get away from this area.
Okay. How exposed were you when you came out underneath the table?
You just saw my paws. It was pretty cute.
Cute stealth.
If anyone was looking closely, it would definitely be weird.
Yeah, I'm trying to in my mind right now.
Because the tablecloth is... Actually, here's what I did. I cut holes in the tablecloth and my paws stick.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to decide how I'm going to, like, if do you need to sneak at... Like, do you need to sneak to continue, like, stealthily going through it? I think so.
Yeah. Because the problem with my method right now is since I'm going underneath booth to booth...
Right.
Whoever's sitting at the booth... there's a lot of feet under there, and
right.
I can easily bump into that.
Yeah, so go ahead and give me another... Do you have a stealth skill that you have? I can't
yes,
remember.
Yes, it's called Sneaker, and it's dex plus one. I promise these are balanced.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to say this is still in the very difficult, because there are tons of feet and people around out here doing their okay. night shopping.
I'm going to say I don't concentrate for this, because I just got... my goal, and I'm probably not thinking about that anymore. So it's still a 2d10 roll.
Oh.
Amber, that was a 15.
God, okay, this is terrible. All right, this is so just FYI, everybody. I had everybody start out at level 4 characters, so I'm learning. This is a GM learning experience. And honestly, the way that you stole her bracelet should be impossible for normal people.
Really?
I should have made it a 16, but you're not normal. Mm. You're a cat. You're a thief. I get it.
To so be fair,
it's not Declawed.
Yep.
I am a specialized ability type, so there's that too.
Yes. Yeah. You have two classes. So anyway, but yeah, you're doing pretty good. I think you're like getting out. But at this point, you hear like a gasp. Where is it? Where is it? And she's like, you can hear this sound. And then there's like this fluttering. Somebody stole. Somebody took it. And she's like flinging like cabbages around looking for her bracelet. Chris is like, this is not real. Yes. She's flipping her out. She's flipping out this beaver woman. And she's like looking all around. And at this point, she is being overly dramatic. Like
she's Karen.
Yes. Grabs the stall vendor. Did you see somebody take my bracelet? And then like shoving him out of the side and like looking around and looking on the ground and just like looking. So now she's causing a commotion. And it's coming actually towards you, Pico. She's going back the way she came to see if she stole, like if she dropped it perhaps. But she's pretty adamant that somebody has taken her bracelet. So Pico, what are you doing now? As you can feel... like the stir of the populace, like the crowd starting to like get riled up and looking.
Oh yeah, I can't really sneak in this environment, so I'm gonna start freaking out and I'm gonna try and run.
Okay, yeah, I think you can just probably start running. And as you're running through the crowds, and they're like obviously trying to look for you or look for somebody, they don't know who it is. You dodging in and out of people, going through these streets, end up running into, and maybe like your head's like turned behind you as you're like looking, hitting the back of something that just like, boom, like pillows backwards. And you look up as it like you fall to the ground. And Chris, how does your character, Francis, respond to like something running in behind him?
Francis literally does not move. Like, it's barely, it's a gnat.
Gnat, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a fly bumping into him. It means nothing to him.
Right.
But he will, this big dopey pig boy is going to like look over behind him. You ran like the back of my leg, is that correct?
Yeah, just, yeah.
I'm going to look like down behind me. Hello there.
You're a big beaver.
Can I help you?
So maybe Pico's stressed out. He's going to try and hide behind Francis, because yeah. Francis is so large.
So you're like sprawled out, kind of like you kind of like.
Yeah, you're turning your head backwards, and I keep getting behind your back, and we keep doing this little spinning dance thing.
Okay, yeah, I'm all for it. Like I'm trying to turn around to like.
You don't see anything.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing to see here. You're fine. Just keep standing there.
Do I notice the angry lady running around?
Yes. So yeah, like as you're like trying to look down, like to see who this person is that is like avoiding you, you start to notice this commotion coming from that direction behind Pico. And this woman's like, there's a thief amongst us. Somewhere there's a thief amongst us. And she's like, have you seen a thief? Somebody who looks like a thief, who is acting like a thief?
Is the crowd doing anything?
This is very odd.
At this point, I think Musashi and Ulfred, you're both in this area. You know, if you want to describe what you guys are doing. But you guys also hear this commotion starting to happen. So we'll go with Ulfred or Musashi. Do you want to go first? Does it matter to me?
I think Ulfred is more of a watcher than a step right in immediately.
Gotcha. So Ulfred is basically just...
he's looking at books, kind of giving the side eye, like, something's happening, but I'm going to look at this book.
Okay. Musashi?
I think Musashi is, he's currently, this is kind of like a marketplace, I'm assuming,
yeah, mm-hmm.
or from what I gather.
There's like scarves and carved wooden figurines all around. Right.
So Musashi is walking around this marketplace, and he has his pack animal and stuff in tow, which I'm going to say is a giant chicken. Because I've been fighting for a giant chicken in Ryukama for forever. His pack animal is a giant chicken. And he's looking at a map, and he walks over to Francis and this lady. And I guess maybe Pico's probably just out of sight just a little bit because he's hiding behind Francis and Musashi.
Yeah, I wonder if he's like
Musashi
with his claws onto the back of Francis.
Yeah, just like
hanging onto the back. Yeah. Musashi just straight up walks up to the two of them, and he looks at him, and he says, excuse me, I'm looking for the lighthouse. I went as far west as I possibly could, and I can't find this lighthouse.
Who did you say asking this stuff?
Musashi's asking the lady and Francis, like, at the same time. Like, he's looking for directions. He's just kind of like, he's not really...
Not interested.
Yeah, okay, so
not
yeah.
Not interested, but he's kind of interjecting because he's just...
Gotcha. You know. So, like, basically the scene is this woman's, like, looking for somebody and is, like, coming closer to Francis and is actually in Francis's vicinity as, like, he's, like, trying to find Pico, who's clinging onto his back. And... she's saying, have you seen a thief? And then Musashi comes up and says,
I'm looking for a lighthouse.
Yeah.
lighthouse. That's not important right now. My bracelet is missing. Have you seen my locket bracelet?
If I find your bracelet, will finding the lighthouse become important? Or can I get that information from you if I help you with your situation?
Yes, of course. I will answer and help you with anything, but that bracelet means so much to me. My husband got it for me. I need it. I saw a thief. I was sitting at the cabbages, and I was picking out stuff for dinner for this week, and it was gone.
Musashi then says, you saw a thief?
Well, I didn't quite see anything, but I know like my husband doesn't buy.
How do you know it was stolen?
Well, because the clasp is so strong, my husband wouldn't buy me some cheap. It didn't fall off. It was just there for it. It was there. I only
and
took
then
my
like, and then like anime focusing on his eyes. He's like, if your conviction to how strong your bracelet is true, then it wouldn't have fallen off or anything. Even a thief, as you say, wouldn't be able to steal it from you. So how do you know you didn't forget it at home?
It was on. I never take it off. It's always. I wish I could talk like a beaver.
Sashi looks at her wrist like judgingly, like say you never take it off, but it's not there.
How does
and
a beaver talk?
You're saying it's so strong.
You have no right to question me right now, sir. You said you would find my bracelet. If you find my bracelet, I will 100% help you in any way I possibly can. But right now, I know it is missing.
And Musashi goes, well, if you went home and found it, then you would definitely
have worn it today and for the last 2 weeks that since my husband gave it to me. Do not tell me that I forgot. You do not know my habits.
What's Ulfred doing at this point? Excuse me.
I think he's now curious about this bracelet.
Okay.
So he goes up to this woman and is like, do you mind if I ask you about this bracelet? You said 2 weeks you've had it.
Yes, it was for my birthday. It was a birthday present.
Uh-oh. Oh my God, no. Mr. McKinnon's coming back.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about how this bracelet was made? Where did he get it?
I mean, I don't know how it was made, but he got it from the Knock on Wood Antiques.
Knock on Wood.
They have all sorts of stuff. They have all sorts of stuff there. Mr. Beckyett is trying so hard to come out right now, and I can't let him. Mm-hmm. Stay down, to you, Mr. Beckyett. Why is that relevant right now? And she's like looking and trying to like look past like everything, and she sees like basically Francis doing this like spinning around. Yeah. And so yeah, what's Francis and Pico doing right now?
I think Francis is getting dizzy at this point.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And so he just sits down.
Boom. Pico's like, you know those backpacks that are in the shape of Yoda? Pico's just kind of hanging there, pretending to be a backpack.
I think you sit down in a way that is... Pico is basically behind, facing the whole group now. Pico, how did you... where did you put the locket?
It's in my belt pouch. It's just on a pouch and a belt.
Okay. Did you securely tie it? I'm just trying to see if there's like... In all of this thrashing about with... Francis.
I would say in the hustle and bustle, yeah, it's peeking out right now.
Okay.
Glistening, as one may say, gleaming.
It's, yeah, it shines for, like, basically we see Francis just go boom, and like some dust comes up from the ground, and then Pico's like holding on, and like as he's holding on, the dust starts to clear, and like from his little belt pouch, you can see just like the gleam of bracelet peeking out of his pouch. And in that moment, because she was looking around, this beaver woman goes, there he is! That's the thief! That's my bracelet!
At the same time that she says, that's my bracelet, I say, this is my locket. Or like, because I see that it just popped out, so we both kind of meet eyes and say it.
Your locket?
Yeah, and I could prove it too.
How could you prove it? We bought it fair. My husband bought it fair and square at Knock on Wood.
Knock on Wood? Those thieves. I'll follow up on that later. Let me write that in my notes.
Wilfred's interested in that too. Because he's watching all of this go down and he's not a fan of this woman already. So.
Well,
he's
and
on
like this
anybody else's side.
Gotcha. Like this entire time, her hat's been like flopping around, and it's just ridiculously ornate, over the top, super expensive hat. I don't know what beaver. What do beavers wear? Like clothing wise,
Sunday dresses are great. They're perfect for beaver dress. I don't know.
Like, what do you guys imagine her wearing right now?
What's
like
the fanciest branch?
And that's birch. Just like a birch bark.
I was thinking that. The beaver people kind of dress like frontiersmen, except instead of beaver skin clothes, it is like some human other skins. Animal. Yeah, human. But
what's,
no.
What's a vegan skin?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's a vegan
skin? A big comfy leaf. Like one of those big soft sure. leaves.
A so lamb's ear yeah. leaf.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I feel like the beaver women dress like Little House on the Prairie women.
Like okay, so but her bonnet is a sun hat and she's just got like a pinafore and like gingham. Whenever I think of Little House on the Prairie, I think of gingham and calico yeah. and
mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Wow.
I read a lot of Little House on the Prairie. Okay, that's
oh you're fine.
So dude. She's yelling.
Pico's pretty mad. So he's gonna open the locket and point to the portrait that's inside.
Which is clearly her husband.
It's been, yes, yes, it's been removed. It's
a picture of her.
It's just aggressively a beaver man.
just a really like very beaver ass beaver is just like in yeah. there. Yeah.
A very dour, serious beaver man
with like a high collar and a uh-huh. neckerchief, and he's like just.
Like a pipe in between his giant beaver teeth.
Yeah, exactly. You open the locket and you go to point to the portrait and it's that. And what do you say?
Is that what it actually is?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Is there something inscribed on it?
There might be. What if I take the portrait, I pop it off. Is there another portrait?
How dare you defile my gift?
This guy's not important.
That's my husband. Pipe. That's Chuck. How dare you?
You throw Mr. Beaverton straight on the ground.
Yeah.
The trash.
His little picture portrait falls down the ground yeah. as a tear rolls down her eye. And so you pop it off the picture, and what do you expect to be there?
There's another portrait there. There's a portrait of a black cat with yellow eyes.
Uh-huh.
And I say to the lady, do you even know who this is?
No. It was just there in the locket.
Yeah, well, me neither. But look at the pattern on her shirt.
What is your point? You don't even know that. Fine, I will indulge you with this one question. What does the pattern of her shirt mean anything? What does that mean?
I point to the ribbon that I'm wearing on my arm, and it's the same kind of pattern. That's the only connection I have.
Listen, I bought this locket and bracelet. Well, I didn't buy it.
I was going to say.
It was a gift.
Liar.
It's a fishy story.
It was a gift.
You're your own husband.
Okay, so maybe he gave me the money to buy my birthday gift and I saw this, but it's still a present from my husband. Now, either, and she's like realizing that like everybody's like gathered mm-hmm. around and like paying attention to this.
Just has a notebook open.
It is like taking notes.
Looking at her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. How about we come to an agreement?
What kind of agreement?
You could pay me back for this bracelet. Okay.
Immediate hard veto. Yeah.
I'm not going to pay for what was stolen from me.
It wasn't stolen. I bought it fair and... Yes? What? What's that?
I have only ever seen this locket in the possession of this cat. So that's where I am right now.
I like this guy.
That doesn't.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
I have the receipt. You could go talk to Knock on Wood if you would like.
See the receipt.
Yes, and she like fluffles around in her like I don't know her purse or whatever her. And then pulls out, like, basically a handwritten script.
Is there a reason that you carry this receipt around with you?
I carry all my receipts!
So Musashi's going to take this opportunity. He's got some gears turning in his head and what he wants to do. So he turns to the lady and says, how much for the locket?
Can you guys tell me how much money you have currently?
I have 1,000 GP.
Exactly. It's more than what you guys have currently on your possession.
Rude. Rude as hell.
For a locket? Dang.
It's an antique. But anyway, you could pay for it, or you could also help out my husband, who works at the timber mill.
I feel like there's a non-zero chance Francis has already been working at the timber mill.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I feel like this crime has been solved already. I feel pretty satisfied. I'm ready to leave.
You're just slinking away.
I like how she's like, pay me $1 million or do some manual labor for my husband and I'll forget this transgression of my antique locket.
He's been needing help. There's been some strange things that have been happening at our place of business, and he could really use the help.
Pico, are you still kind of latched onto my back?
Yes, I can unlatch if this is getting painful for you.
No, it's totally not. I'm just going to grab you, though.
Okay.
Very thick, bristly fur on the back there.
Whoa. Yeah, no. I'm like, Mr. Kitty, I believe this is yours, but let's go to work for a little bit. And I'm like gently rocking you.
that convinces me.
And I'll get up and we're going to start walking to the timber mill.
Like, Alfred thinks all of this is bullshit. Like, he...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has no problem helping this woman if she asks for help at the timber mill, but like, he's more interested in taking this receipt, talking to the person at the store, finding out where it came from.
Okay.
That's how he's thinking.
Yeah. Okay. Pico's in a similar
boat. He'll help somebody, but
where he also wants to investigate the knock on wood shop to figure out what happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then also he feels kind of bad about getting everyone here wrapped up in this, what he thinks is a stupid scenario that he should just run away from. But he can't now, so yeah, he'll tag along.
I don't hate the idea that, I mean, let's be honest, I can go do the work of 9 of you at the timber mill, and why don't you guys go investigate?
Alfred has very soft paws.
Okay, so what's going on? Are you going to pay me? Are you going to help my husband? What's happening now?
Okay, so if I did work at the timber mill, I know who she is, probably.
Yeah, I made up a really stupid name. I can't even pronounce it.
Oh.
It's like Viviana Clariata.
Viviana
Clariata. Clariata. Beaver. Because they have really clever last names. So
the last name is all Beaver.
So her last name is Beaver. Her husband's last name is Beaver.
Their cousin's last name also Beaver?
Maybe. depends on what side of the family.
Is it Beaver all the way down?
We could discuss last names later. But
it's
this
the
is
the Westminster Beavers versus the Yorkshire Beavers. Like
the Hertfordshiresons. So anyway, her name is Biavina Clariata, and her husband's name is Chuck.
Okay. No, Chuck is a completely normal name.
That's a beaver. Yeah, Chuck's a normal name. Okay.
They're just thieving beavers to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, I'm going to rub it in her face. I'm going to say, you know, this locket was so important to you, and you're just going to write it off with just help from the lumber mill? Must not have been important to you.
It's the principle of the matter. You took what wasn't yours, and it is very important to me, but my husband's the most important to me, and he needs help.
I guess you just don't care about this locket, so
I'm
gonna pocket it now. I hit the snap on the belt pouch, and now it's
secure.
Firmly in place.
Well, must work. You have to work. That's the only way. You're not going to keep it unless you pay me for it. Or you work. So who... Are you going to come with me now? We can go. It's looking about... Yeah, it's like dust... Like,
what's the return policy at this store?
I mean, you would have to take it up with Woody. He's the owner.
I have the receipt in my hand, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just wondering if we might be able to get her money back so that she'll shut up, but we don't have to work for her for this, like, for no pay.
Right. Yeah, so I guess at this point, if that's what Ulfred's thinking, what do you guys do? She's watching. She's, I will not go to let you out of your sight unless I know someone is going to the timber mill.
Musashi kind of, like, getting lost between all this argument stuff. He's still trying to, he's like, if I help you at the lumber mill, well, I get help in finding the lighthouse that I'm looking for?
Yes, of course.
Mrs. Beaver, it's me, Francis.
Oh! Francis!
I have a question now.
Yes, yes, yes.
All the work I've been doing at the mill, was I supposed to be getting paid for that?
Well, that was between you and that would be between you and Chuck.
I don't remember ever getting paid. Were you taking advantage of me?
No! Francis, no!
Mrs. Beaver, I trusted you.
No, I don't pay my husband's employees. If you have an issue with him, you could talk to him about it.
All right, Mrs. Beaver.
It kind of sounds like this guy has a lot of money that isn't necessarily his.
We must redistribute his wealth. Seize the means of production. Mrs. Beaver, I want you to leave this cat man alone. He seems nice and he's very soft.
What's your facial expression right now, Pico? Do you look very nice and soft?
He's really scraggly, so I wouldn't probably say soft. But maybe yeah. To a pig, he's very soft.
Yeah, so I love that. I had a camera. He's like, oh, he's very nice and soft. And then the camera goes and he's like mean and like scraggly. He's got like dirt all over his face.
Well, you know how they make brushes out of like boar?
Yeah, 100%.
Like I'm petting you and you're basically getting exfoliated and brushed.
Yeah. Pico's soft like a squirrel is soft.
Have you touched a squirrel?
No, they look soft, but like they're really actually just scraggly little kind of mangy. Rats. Yeah.
Have you, Brandon, held a squirrel?
I have gotten close enough to see the texture of the fur. It's kind of like
so you felt them with your eyes.
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
Okay. Who is going to the timber mill?
So Musashi says, then to the timber mill it is. And then he kind of looks at Pico and he says,
nope.
And you as well will go to the timber mill.
trying to get away from it.
And then he looks at Francis and he goes, I assume you work at the timber mill, so you'll be going to maybe.
Can you work somewhere if you don't get paid?
You can get your payment. Know. You can get your payment problem sorted out with the boss there. I'll help you, pig man.
Aw, okay. Then yes, I'm in. Let's go.
Okay. Pico's trying to escape to do the knock on wood with Ulfred, the soft paw club of getting out of the lumber mill work.
You're like fully trying to squirm out of my embrace. All right. I'll be like, okay, bye kitty.
And I just run. Yes. Shoot Wait. Off.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening. As you may know, we're streaming Book of Summer live on Geekspective's Twitch channel every other Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Come watch us play the game live and get to see the actual artwork and handouts I've made, and of course, our cool faces. And if you can't catch it live, the VODs will be going up on our Geekspective YouTube as well. If you've been enjoying Shapeshift, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Sharing what you like about the show and talking about it with others is also super helpful and appreciated. Another way to help me and the show out is by becoming a patron of Geekspective's Patreon. That's patreon.com/Geekspective. I'll be releasing a series of blog posts from my Book of Spring prep, as well as tidbits of Book of Summer prep as we go. Shapeshift is a member of the Geekspective Network. There's a lot of other shows you can find me on at geekspective.com. There's Red Mage, Blue Mage, if you like Magic the Gathering, Party Like It's the Greatest Year in Film, if you enjoy movie discussions, and of course, Tales from Oxfairy. You can get information about the Geekspective shows by either following the Geekspective Twitter, that's at Geekspective, or going to the website at geekspective.com. And you can find me on Twitter either at RocketOrca or at ShapeshiftCast. This episode was edited by Rudy Basso. You can find him on Twitter at Rudy Basso. That's RudyBasso. Thanks, Rudy.